Taste and see that the Lord is good. Thanks, guys. So I think everyone has two jelly beans if you haven't eaten them already. Have you eaten them all already? Oh, awesome. Okay, so hands up, who got a fruity one? Okay. Who got a savory one? So one that tasted like popcorn or... Okay, great, great. Who got one that tasted gross to them? Oh, we got some gross. Okay, it's just the mixed bag. I didn't know what to... And who got one that tasted like their favorite food? Oh, Elliot, did you get one? Oh, Benj, you got one that tasted like your favorite food. Okay, Benj, what was it? Cinnamon. Cinnamon's your favorite food. Okay, so how do you normally eat cinnamon? Apple cider. And who do you eat it with? With yourself. Is it some? Does your mama make it homemade? Is she a homemade apple cider maker? Because I know your mama makes a lot of things homemade. No, no, no. And are you a hot apple cider drinker or are you a cold apple cider drinker? You're a hot apple cider drinker. Awesome. I love it. I'm a cold apple cider drinker. I love it. So for the last 3 weeks, this is week four, when the kids have been in Kids Life and we as adults have been gathering, we have been exploring prayer. And for part of our time together, we have been exploring prayer through the five senses. And today, the prayer that we are exploring through the senses is the sense of taste. Hence, everybody has a jelly bean to eat. And also, it lines up really well with us doing communion together this morning. And as Danny has already referred to this morning, prayer is something that we have to actually practice to learn. So, how many of you have to practice things in your life? Whoa, awesome. Okay, so who is still practicing reading? Oh, we got a lot of those. Awesome. Who is practicing math? Math? Oh, we still have math. So kids, you got to know, math happens your whole life, okay? Well, I know. Some are the boos and some are the A's. Okay, who practices a musical instrument? Oh, we got a lot of musicians in here. And who practices a sport here? Yes, okay. And who is still practicing speaking up for themselves when they have to? Oh, that's a tricky one, right? Okay. So in the same way that we have to practice in all these different areas of our lives, we also have to practice prayer in order for it to become something that is a natural part of our life, which Danny has already referred to this morning. So when we pray, there are at least two things happening, and Danny's already highlighted them. See, this is the wonderful thing about working together. You end up weaving things and you don't even know it. So, one of the things that happens, hey, Benj, come on up here, honey. You're going to get used again. Is that we start to know something. Can you hold this way? Is that we know that God loves us. Isabel, you want to come up here? Come on, Is. And we know, as we practice prayer, that God is with us, okay? It's the Trinity. One, two, three, four, because Trinity and us, four. All those pieces. The second thing that happens, on top of knowing that, well, one, at least the second thing that happens, on top of knowing that God loves us and that God is with us, is that we actually join with God in, so I'm going to draw another picture here. I had to write these down this morning so I wouldn't forget all the pieces. Let's see. So we join with God in loving. You probably already know the answer. Loving others. Sarah. Sitting in the front row. We join with God in loving others and... loving creation. Hey! My cat and my tree. So when we practice prayer, we end up over time continuing to recognize that God loves us and is with us, and we end up joining with God in loving others and loving God's creation. So, today, we are actually actively practicing prayer in a number of ways, like Danny has already led us through. And one of the things that we're going to do together that is, again, another active participation in prayer is actually the taking of communion. And when we actually participate in communion together, we actually are doing these things as well. In remembering and encouraging one another and acknowledging God's presence with us, we again are turning ourselves to recognizing God's love for us, God's presence with us, and we actively are encouraging ourselves and empowering one another to love God and love one another and love creation in the same way that God does. And it is actually happening as we eat together, as we participate in this sensory action of the body through the sense of taste. Now, I didn't know that Danny was going to have us do the sitting with Jesus exercise this morning. But a common practice that uses the sense of taste throughout Christian tradition is actually the practice of sitting with Jesus while having something in your mouth. So part of the reason I gave you two jelly beans was in case you wanted to experiment with this. And some people like to use dark chocolate or something savory, but it is actually having something that sits in your mouth and takes a long period of time to break down. And while you have that in your mouth, intentionally taking space to remember, I am loved by God and God is present with me. So if you still have your second jelly bean, I challenge you to explore, put that jelly bean in your mouth, and for the rest of the service, whenever that taste comes to mind in your body or that sensation of that item in your mouth comes to mind, repeat to yourself, I am loved by God and God is present with me. Now, prayer and taste are not all about eating. There's actually another way that the church has practiced prayer with the sense of taste for a very long time, and it's actually through the absence of the sense of taste, through something called fasting. Kids, have any of you heard of fasting before? Okay. And it's actually the absence of eating, period, or the absence of eating something for a period of time. Now, children, what happens when you don't eat? You starve. What happens? You starve to death, yes. So what's the sensation? Do you feel hungry? It's the first thing that starts to happen when you don't eat. You feel hungry. Now, when you felt hungry for a little while, then what starts happening? Say it. Hangry. This is very well known in our house. The Julians are very well known for hangry. And if you don't eat for even longer, what starts happening to your body? How do you feel? Do you feel, what do you feel, Jace? Gross? You don't feel good. And your tummy hurts. Do you have a lot of energy? No, you start to feel weak. And when you feel weak and you don't have a lot of energy, can you do a whole bunch of things? No, you can't. So all of a sudden, your activity goes down, and the only things that you actually do are the things that are really, really important. Right? And on top of that, when you start to feel weak, you all of a sudden realize, I actually am weak. And I actually need others. And I actually need God. And so this practice of fasting that actually has been carried out by the church for thousands of years in cycles, whether it's a stop eating for a period of time or a specific thing that people don't eat for a period of time, it's actually a practice of this so that you actually intentionally enter into seasons of weakness so that you actually train yourself again to recognize the dependence upon God and the dependence upon others and what is most important in our relationships and in our spiritual growth. So explore this week. Explore with maybe fasting for a day while you pray for somebody that you care about. Or perhaps do sitting with Jesus and stick a jelly bean or a dark chocolate in your mouth. And allow again your sensory experiences with your body to help you understand and enter into the presence of God in a new way this week. Thanks. Kevin.
Good. Thank you, Aaron. We didn't know about taking tea. I had like about 10, I think. And a few others did too, right? No? Yeah? That was so good. Debbie's like, how am I? I'm just take a bunch. So good. What a great morning. Danny, thanks for your thoughtfulness and the thought that you put into this. And Aaron as well, and for Trevor. And to lead us in this, we want to continue to be thinking about ways that we do this together, our community. And so I'm glad that we can do these. It's about four times a year, I guess, that we do these, most likely on long weekends. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful time. Today we're going to continue our series, but I'm not going to really add too much more than what we see. Than what we've experienced. I trust that we've been motivated, been encouraged to pray. In the last few weeks, we've heard some amazing stories of people. Last week, Irv told us a story about him being cancer-free. How amazing is that? And yet, in the midst of it, he's like, I'm still trying to process this because the roller coaster that he experienced before that reshapes him to someone a little bit different than who he is already. And we talked about how that gives us empathy to be able to relate to other people and that we might be able to be the surprise for other people's lives this week as God sometimes will surprise us in our prayers and in our lives. Kevin Dreger, back again. It's good to see you. Kevin's been in and out of the hospital here again. And good to see you again. And we continue to pray for you. And each of us in our different places and spaces, pray that God would meet you where you're at in that way. Today when we talked about doing this 5 weeks of prayer, and doing the family service around the one of the senses of taste, we know that we usually have our communion service the first of the month, and we thought, well, if it's family, so let's do it today. And then in the midst of it, we realized that it causes us to ask some questions around communion. And we want to today realize that today, this isn't our normal practice, and yet as a community that wants to provide gracious space and create gracious space and to be able to teach our children about the Lord's table, we need to be able to have spaces and places to do that. For me, I didn't have communion until I was 19. And in my understanding of communion at the time, my church tradition, I technically wasn't allowed to have communion before I was baptized. So I wasn't baptized, so I didn't have communion. And it wasn't until I was at first year Bible college, I think I've shared this story here, first year Bible college when the professor got up in the chapel and said, listen, some of you have not been able to have communion because of the way your tradition, how it's going. But I wanted to say for you today, some of you might be able to have communion for the very first time without, and he unpacked this whole thing. And I was like, what? Can I? And so I had communion for the very first time at age 19. And it was super meaningful for me. Because I I believe Jesus loved me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins and for the redemption of all the world. And yet, so at my Bible college, the prof was creating some gracious space for me to experience something in a new way that gave meaningful understanding of what communion was for me at the time. So when I say that, and then I went to one of my friends' churches, who is Orthodox, and guess what? This is only a few years ago. I couldn't have communion with them because in their church tradition, if you aren't Orthodox, then you can't have communion. But they have the common bread. So I was able to have the common bread, and they said, okay, you're a believer, yet here you're going to have the common bread. And so what we're saying here is that we all experience this in different places. In our tradition, Mennonite Brethren tradition, that has fluctuated over the years, but our common practice is that those of you that understand and believe that, well, understand that God loves you, that Jesus died on the cross for you, you're to come and take part in this. And yet we also know when Jesus his first communion, it was an invitation to all his disciples, and we know not all of them got it, right? So today, what we're going to do is provide gracious space. This isn't going to be a normal practice, but it's for us to experience the invitation of Jesus to say, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we remember what God has done in and through our lives. Families, it's up to you how you want to have your kids take part in this. On this side, we usually take communion by coming up the front and someone serves. You take it and you dip it and then they take and eat. This here has gluten in it. This one here doesn't have any gluten. This is gluten-free. And so if you can come in and do this. As well as we're going to also have a part of a bit of a feast. The early Christians celebrated more of like a dinner or a lunch or a feast around the communion table. And this is kind of what we're going to participate as well if you want to do this with your family. And you might say, you might have a child and say, you know what, why don't you just have the bread today? And we can talk a bit more about what it looks like. Or if you're saying, you know, your child understands it, you can be like, okay, let's have this. Maybe for the very first time, the juice and the bread. And you can have this and participate with this as a family. Again, this isn't our normal practice, but we want to create some gracious space to have a dialogue about what does it mean for us to partake in the body and the blood of Jesus, and what does it look like for us. So, in a few minutes, after I pray and have an invitation for us to come, I want to encourage you to come, and we're going to break the bread. You can grab hunks and pieces of it. This one is cut, so if you would rather just to grab some, I did wash my hands just before I came up, just so you know. But there's something also that's intimate in this. If you prefer a bit more sterile, you can move this into this direction. And if you and your family want to rip off some chunks of bread and gather around and to participate in this, we want you to do this too. We want you to know that Jesus is inviting us to receive his body and his blood, to remind us of what he has actually done for us and all of creation. And as we partake in it, we not only remember what he did, but the Bible speaks that it's also a foreshadow of what's to come, about the wedding, the banquet, the great wedding feast in heaven that will become. And as we take it, we say, as Aaron said, we need Jesus here. There's a scripture I'm going to drill down into it next week, is this. Hebrews. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's a great verse for prayer, that God will listen to us. And we're invited to recognize that this great high priest sacrificed his life for us, and we're able to celebrate the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that he's given to us. I'm going to pray. I think Trevor might come up and do some music, and then I'll explain it here. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the reminder that we are to taste and see that you're good. Remind us as we eat this week of the goodness. Remind us of your goodness and your grace, and remind us that of how we can be, in a sense, people that can be participating and partaking in the goodness that you've given us. But also we can be a people that are able to offer the bread and the wine and at the invitation that you have for us. Thank you for your life, for your death, and the resurrection, and that is good news for us to celebrate. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As we come, there are cups on either side. I'll pour you some juice if you want to do the dunking. You can go on either side. This might be an opportunity to practice maybe having this as a family or with a friend and praying for one another. We also know that might be a little bit stretching for some, and that's okay. This table is representative of what God is doing in your life. So even as you come, you're participating in what Jesus has done for you. Parents, you can work it out with your children, and you can have some conversations about this, and you can serve them what you're comfortable with. And so this is a table not of the church, but of God. It is made to be ready for those who love God and who want to love God more. So come, you have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you who have not been here for a very long time. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come, not because I invite you, but because God invites you. And it is God's will that you who want to know God more would meet him here with the body and blood of Jesus. So come. Thank you. And Josh, you're very talented with the stapler. That's amazing. It's a beautiful picture of what everyone's thankful for. And it's rallied around the cross. I want to encourage us today. Sue is going to just read an announcement that Irv read last week. We want to make sure we're communicating clearly with our community. And Sue's on the leadership team. She's just going to read an announcement, and then I'll give the benediction after that. We want to encourage everyone to come next Sunday after church. Thanks, Sue. Just a beautiful community here, and we're rallying around this. Thank you for who you are. I hope that you are encouraged, inspired today to pray and to realize that prayer is a part of everything in all that we do. Would we continue to be prayerful? So now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and give you peace. Amen. Enjoy family day, the rest of family day weekend.